And now, Outdoor Ideas, Fun, and Even Adventures on Outdoor Life with Carol Mundy, the Crow Knows. Join us as we discuss fun outdoor events and activities around Greater Cincinnati and beyond with naturalist Carol Mundy. Later in the program, we'll open up phone lines to take your calls and questions. Carol is the host of the website, thecrowknows.com. It's all about getting outdoors and enjoying our natural world on Outdoor Life with Carol Mundy on WMKV and WLHS. Now your host, Carol Mundy.
Good afternoon, and thank you for staying tuned right here on 89.3. We're so happy that you've tuned in again to listen to this program. My name's Carol Mundy. Today in the studio, we have a wonderful guest. We have Jack Kalmeyer, who is the president of the Cincinnati Dry Dredgers. And you might be wondering what that is all about, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. We do want to invite you to join this program if you have questions about the Dry Dredgers, about Fossil Fest that's going to be coming up at the Cincinnati Museum Center here October, let's see, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, is that right?
That's right.
Yep. So if you wanted to call in and ask questions or you have a need for some other information, the phone number here is 772-9658 or toll free at 877-772-9658. Jack, we're so glad that you took the time to come in today. I understand that you're really under the gun here. You're just a week out, really, from getting this event organized.
Yes, it's been a little bit of a challenge to get things pulled together.
Is this the first time this Fossil Fest has occurred here in Cincinnati?
No, it was done initially one time in 1996.
That's been a little while.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that was before they got the National Fossil Day event going through the National Park Service.
National Fossil Day actually occurs on October the 15th.
The 15th.
But you've got the whole celebration going on. This is Earth Science Week as well.
Yes, that's what I'm understanding, yes.
So all the students are out there. Hopefully they are getting lots of doses of that and have a chance to get out and explore. Hopefully they have some great science teachers, because I think about, I'm sure you growing up, and I know for myself that my science teachers, I was that kind of kid. I was digging in the dirt. I was climbing the tree. I was chasing about every kind of critter. And that was much more important to me than sitting still at a table and chair somewhere.
Yep. I spent a lot of time outdoors. And I lived in Dayton at the time when I was growing up. But my relatives were all in Cincinnati, so I got indoctrinated to the Cincinnati fossils.
How did you get into fossils in the first place?
Yeah, I have to blame my cousin.
You have to blame your cousin?
Yes.
Is he listening?
I don't know.
Call him out.
He gave me my first trilobite, and that pretty well hooked me.
Tell folks what a trilobite is. We might have some listeners out there who just don't know. How do you describe this little guy? Some of them aren't that little.
Well, that's true. If most people around here know what a pill bug is.
Sure.
Little roly-polies, they call them, that roll up. A trilobite looks something like that, but most of them are a lot larger. It's an arthropod. It's got a lot of little jointed legs, and it does roll up for protection.
But they're not in existence, so what we're finding are the fossilized versions.
That's correct. There's no living relative, I guess you'd say. There's some relatives, but not descendants of trilobites.
And when we talk about these trilobites, and the one that your cousin gave you, can you estimate an age? I mean, what age time or what frame of time are we talking about?
Well, the fossils around here, including that trilobite, are around 440 million years old.
440 million years old.
Yes.
How do we have a clock or a timeline that goes back that far?
Radioactive dating is the way those things are determined. Although in Cincinnati proper, the geologic time we refer to as the Cincinnati, and there is nothing there that can be dated that way. So dates in Cincinnati are done by bracketing with sediments a little bit older that have that kind of material and sediments a little bit younger. So the current notion is that we're around 440 million years ago for the sediments around here. And the total span of time for Cincinnatian is about 10 million years worth of fossils.
What's so special about Cincinnati?
Well, we were lucky that Cincinnati wasn't here 440 million years ago. It was actually about 10 to 15 degrees south of the equator in the tropics. It was the continent was virtually completely flooded almost with an inland sea, a shallow sea, maybe 50 feet deep at the shallowest to up to 200 feet deep.
We're talking about seas. We're talking about salt water.
Salt water, right. And that is known based on the types of fossils we have here. Some of the types of fossils we have would only be found in salt water. So that's why that is the answer for that.
As you're finding these things, are you comparing them to modern day creatures?
Paleontologists do that. I personally don't. I'm more interested in exactly what these little animals are.
Might have been.
Yes.
Might have been. Right. When we're talking about the fossils in Cincinnati, and we've got now, you're hooked, obviously, because your cousin, as
yes.
you say. Tell us about the dry dredgers. What is the dry dredgers group here in Cincinnati?
Well, the dry dredgers is probably one of the most oddly named paleontology clubs in the country. Most people think, what in the world is that? We were named based on a comment made by a famous paleontologist in the 1800s who said that the geologists around here were basically dredging the dry Ordovician seas. So the name Dry Dredgers kind of got hooked to us. Our group was founded in 1942 at the University of Cincinnati through some very interested amateurs that were taking a community type course there. And they talked to one of the professors about forming a club.
A club.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a group of folks who have the same interest.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, back then, I think the group that started out were maybe 18 people. And now we have 250 members.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It took a while to get there. And I think a web presence has helped that.
Sure. Well, in dry dredgers, you're not going to forget that.
No.
You're not going to be confused with the Dayton Fossil Club or the Chicago Fossil Club. It's the dry dredgers. It really stands out.
That's true. And, it's surprising to us. We're here in Cincinnati. We're picking up fossils no matter where you walk. We're unique in that regard. And that becomes evident when you do talk to other fossil clubs around the country. Around here, fortunately, we don't have to beat fossils out of rocks. You know,
they just stumble
on them and they're there. They're all over. It's like beach collecting. And we're also famous around the world. There are professional paleontologists that come here to Cincinnati because of the age, the quantity, and the preservation of the fossils that we have.
That's one of those things I think as a Cincinnatian that we may take for granted. You just don't think about it because every stone wall, every outcropping, there are just so many pieces you just don't even think about that being special, if you will. I don't know what other word to give it, but to have a presence in the world community to bring people from other countries to come and study this, and then, you know, we're just going, oh yeah, that's the crinoids that are in the rock wall that's next to the old farm.
Yeah, it is amazing, and it was kind of a surprise to us to find out how many professionals around the world know of our group. It's something, and like you say, anywhere you look, there are fossils, and the museum now has put in a new exhibit called Cincinnati Under the Sea, which showcases our local fossils. That's part of the Fossil Fest event, and they've got some wonderful fossils, some of the very rare fossils they have in the collections that are actually now on display there.
When you talk about the size of this group, would you say the majority of your club is made up of amateurs? And I don't even think that's a fair word to use because I look at the work that these people do and they may not have a PhD after their name, but they're certainly not amateurs.
Yeah, that's we don't mind being called amateurs. There are other people that would call us avocational paleontologists.
Avocational.
Yeah. But one thing to remember about our group is it's not a group of stuffy, crusty old men studying this stuff. We have, our membership varies from children probably as young as 6 up to people that are in their 80s. And their knowledge level varies to the same degree. People that know very little, people that know a lot, and so we have people who have actually published in professional journals. But we're all over the place.
Some of your folks actually go out and do education in the community.
Yeah, we have our education chair, Greg Courtney.
Greg Courtney. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does a lot of that outreach type of program. He's got a lot of fossils he takes to these events and tells people about them, and everybody gets very enthusiastic about it. And this event at Fossil Fest will be another outreach program for us. So we'll be in the community eye and hopefully to get more people involved and interested in this.
Are there places around Southwest Ohio that you can go and dig? I mean, you shouldn't go along the roadside because that ends up getting yourself in trouble. But there are places that perhaps the club goes as a field trip?
Yes, we have field trips. The field trips that we have are the day following our meetings, our regular meetings. We have 8 meetings a year. But you did say one key word that I wanted to point out. You mentioned dig. And a lot of people ask me the same thing. Where do you dig for fossils? Where can you dig for fossils? In Cincinnati, you don't have to dig for fossils. You can just pick them up off the ground. And 99.9% of our membership, that's exactly what they do. And you can find rare fossils doing that. It doesn't have to be an excavation. Now, having said that, there are other people who go onto private land with permission of the owners.
With permission, that's very important.
Yes, they make an arrangement and they can do a systematic excavation. Sometimes those are in conjunction with professional paleontological mm-hmm. studies. Others, people are doing it commercially, where they'll mine, if you will, trilobites for sale.
For sale.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me your club actually prepares some of these little bags. It seems like the bags that you've purchased at nature centers or maybe within the museum are prepared by your members.
Yes, that's one of our educational aspects. There are places, like you mentioned, the Nature Center and Cincinnati Museum Center as well, and the gift shop has what we call our fossil kits. And there are 12 individual fossils in each kit. Each one's identified. And we also include a little replica of a trilobite for each kit.
Which just kind of wets your whistle if you're a kid going, but I need the real one.
Yes, then you've got to go actually find out where to find them. The key to the trilobite question has always been people, especially people that are beginning collecting, everyone wants to want to find a trilobite because, you know, they're cute, they got eyes.
They're cute.
Yeah.
They're kind of cute. They're kind of almost whimsical or comical looking.
Yeah, exactly. The answer I always give is you can find them anywhere. However, you're not the only one looking.
Yes.
And if you're not the first one to a collecting site, I say after it rains, you're less likely to find them because other people have been there already.
And so you're saying that this, a place that you might be going to pick up fossils, that as we have these weather changes, that the pickings, so to speak, will change because of the wash off or the runoff, or maybe those layers are separating out and some of these things are coming back. So they're scattered on the top of the ground.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, the sediments around here, we're talking about the bedrock, and that is anytime you see an excavation that has layered rocks, you'll have limestones and what we call shale or mudstone. And that shale or mudstone basically dissolves and the rain turns into nice
mush.
Gray brown or gray mud. In those shales, a lot of the fossils can be found individually laying loose. So as it rains, they wash out and get exposed.
Does that happen also as we go through the freeze and thaw?
Yes, that helps too as well. All these weather changes are great for fossil hunting. When we have summers, there's a drought. That's awful.
Because it doesn't change.
Yeah, it doesn't change. And you don't seem to find as much that way.
Jack, we have a caller. Eileen, are you there?
Yes, I
Hi.
Am.
Did you have a question?
Hi. Well, I have a comment and kind of a question, not on fossils and things, but I was just wondering, didn't the dry dredgers get involved with, or the, the rock and mineral people get involved with you guys? Because I can remember my mom was in the Cincinnati Rock and Mineral Society.
Maybe thinking of the big geo fair?
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, this was when it was at Convention Center downtown, and they also had it out at
Cincinnati Gardens.
Cincinnati Gardens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I even knew my parents, the Foxes?
No, I don't recall
Jim
a name.
Jim Fox or Rosie Fox? Okay. Yeah, she was also an artist.
Oh,
and
nice.
She, Dan's been gone 9 years now, but he was still going even after Mom passed away. Mom was the big rock hound, and she took us on many a trip, and I don't think anybody in our family of the seven kids decided to go on that type of thing. So, but yeah, I remember the dry dredgers a lot. And
well, good.
And
you'll have to store up some interest and see if you can get yourself back out to a meeting or maybe get some of your friends and just tell them, surprise, you're going to a dry dredgers meeting.
I'm not into getting into the ground. my cats and I like to stay in the house now. But anyway, yeah, I remember those days when Mom and Dad would take us out, way out in the country somewhere and look for stuff and stuff. So, but anyway, yeah, it brought back some memories and things. So
thanks, Eileen.
Anyway, you guys take care.
All right.
I gotta get back to work.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
I think she kind of brings to light, there's so many of us who have had that opportunity as kids that we were either digging around or exposed to it or started collecting Maybe you went to a class at the Museum of Natural History. I know I did with Ralph Dury as a kid. I still have my samples after all these years. And it's one of those things when you look at the number of times you might have moved as an adult. You lost a whole bunch of stuff, but for some reason you still have your rock or your mineral or your fossil collection.
Yes. Well, from my inception as a child, there was a large gap in my my history. I ended up going to school to be an engineer and work and family life and whatever, and I didn't actually get back into this until I met another man through another hobby who was a fossil collector from Cincinnati and had been in the dry dredgers in the 1950s. He took me out and taught me how to collect, and it's been really good ever since.
That second dose, it sunk in, huh?
Yes.
You've been involved ever since then.
Yeah, so I've been collecting as an adult, basically, for over 30 years.
How often, you said that the dry dredgers meet about 8 times a year, and where do they meet?
Yeah, we meet at UC on campus, and the best way to figure all that out is to go to our website, drydredgers.org. There are directions to the building that we use at UC. We meet some September through May with on the fourth Friday, not the last Friday, but the fourth Friday. And there are a couple of exceptions. In November, we move up to the third because of Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And we do not have an actual meeting in December. So other than that, we meet those other months. And then in the nice weather months, we have outdoor field trips. And over the wintertime, our field trip chair will arrange to have maybe an indoor trip. We've gone to the research collections at the Museum of Natural History's Geyer Research Center and seen that. So.
That's kind of going into the collections kind of reminds me of the end of Indiana Jones movies, you know, where they went into that big hall where all the wonders of the world were stored. That's kind of how I relay that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the dredgers have been involved with the museum as well as you see since our inception. And there are a number of ways we do that. One way is the donation of fossils that we've collected. And all of our members, whether they're amateurs or even the commercial collectors, have been very free with donating fossils of rare animals that need to be studied scientifically.
Thank goodness for that.
Yes.
I mean, if they just go into a private collection, then we all lose out.
Exactly, exactly. So other members have actually, you know, talked to UC professors and the graduate students and said, I know what you're looking for. I'll take you there. And they go out and they help in excavations. Other things we do at the museum, there are a number of our people who actually volunteer at the museum proper or in the research facility. And actually, I'm over there now helping identify certain fossils for them.
Can we talk about one really big collection that came through the dry dredgers? Let's talk about Godzillas.
Oh, yes. Yes, one of our members, Ron Fine, who actually lives in Dayton, is an outstanding collector. And to be an outstanding collector like Ron, you have to be observant. And Godzillas is a strange, what we call problematic creature that we really haven't pinned down yet as what it is. But the key to finding that was Ron's ability to see a pattern in what looks kind of like a nodule to anybody else that doesn't have anything in it. But there's a definite pattern on this thing. It's a big, multi-lobed, I don't know what you call it. We don't know what to call it.
It's, right. It kind of reminds me of the way the pads form on a Opuntia, the prickly pear cactus. The way the pads form, its shape is similar to that just from the photographs that I've seen.
Yeah, I guess that's probably right. And it's large. It's probably at least 6 foot long and 2 or 3 feet wide. It's not one chunk. It's pieces that he collected every little piece over multiple trips and put it all back together in the right sequence.
And this is something that was unseen.
Yes.
Unknown.
Unseen, unknown, undescribed in this area. And the couple of professors at UC are studying this now with the hope to publish. And they're looking at, is this an algal mat, a bacterial mat?
Right.
We don't know. But it is something because it has a regular pattern on it. It's not some random sedimentary feature, which sometimes you find.
And so this was found by one of your members who's not not his profession.
Exactly, right.
And then not only did he find this and document it, but then donate it to UC?
That's correct.
And I'm sure that has lit up the board in terms of paleontologists around the world trying to figure this out.
When this thing was first discovered, it went viral all over the internet. And I know the professors at UC have taken samples of that to professional conferences and showed it to other specialists who work in like algae or bacterial mats and things like that, trying to get a consensus of what the devil this thing really is.
It's pretty amazing when you think about that time frame, how many millions of years ago, and that as you're sifting or as the ground gets scraped up and these things come forward, that this particular type of creature, or we're not sure if it's a creature or a plant, hasn't been seen before.
Yeah, it is. It's somewhat surprising. This area has been studied by initially amateurs and then other professionals for 150 years. And you think there's
somebody
nothing
else. Somebody would have seen,
right. There's nothing else to be found in Cincinnati. That's not the case. It's happened many times. And a lot of the findings are from the dry dredgers or other amateurs, collectors. And if we're lucky, they talk to the university or the museum about them.
And then you go back out into the community, for instance, taking it into Fossil Fest Day. Godzilla's won't be there, but the idea of getting that enthusiasm going, because you never know when one of those young people might be that next collector to find something that hasn't been seen before.
Oh, that's right. Our group will have a number of display cases in Fossil Fest, including an extensive collection from Ron Fine, actually, will be there. And you'll see fossils from all over the area, and the people that collected them will be available to ask questions about what they found. So there's many opportunities to see things.
At these meetings or at events like this, do you have visitors bring you samples or pieces that they found looking for help to identify?
We have, that's one of the services actually we're going to have at Fossil Fest. We will have a table set up with our club members who will help you identify fossils. If you're willing to carry it into the museum, we will identify it and explain it to you and tell you what you've got.
This is better than the Antiques Roadshow. I mean,
the ultimate,
right, that you would drag. Maybe you have that piece that has been handed down through the different generations. This had been my grandfather's. We don't really know what it is, and we don't want to get rid of it, but what is it?
Yes.
Right. And hearing that story will kind of re-energize the next generations.
Yes, it does that. You talk about, you know, older collections like that. We had recently an older member who had passed away. The family contacted us and donated his collection to us. And then we take that and distribute it where it's best used. We had some of the material will go to the Geyer collections down here at the Museum Center. For research purposes. Some of it will go to Ohio University because they are starting to build up a collection now, too, for teaching collections. So these things don't get thrown away. The key thing that was useful for this particular collection was this collector was an avid person. He knew what he was doing, and he recorded the locations where he found the fossils.
Very important.
And that's one of the more important things. If you don't have that information, you've got a nice, pretty fossil, but scientifically, no matter what it is, we really can't do much with it.
So what would be the advice if somebody decides that they're going to go out scratching around at one of these collection sites? How would you tell them to, if they're going to collect something, what kind of notes should they be taking?
The minimal amount of notes would be just where you are.
Okay.
You know, if you're at, say, a road cut exposure or one of the fossil parks that you can collect in, you make a note of that, what road you are, you're 1 mile from some intersection or whatever. That type of thing is the basic. If you can do it using a GPS, a handheld GPS, is really, really
technology.
Good.
Technology.
That's much better. If you can't do that, you can go on Google Maps, and you can find your spot on Google Maps. And if you right-click on that spot, it'll bring up the GPS coordinates.
Oh, and write that down.
And you can write that down. That's if you really want to get precise. But we have a lot of fossils that were collected over those 150 years. They're in the museum's collections and in the university collections. And the location says Cincinnati, Ohio.
It's a little vague, isn't it?
It's a little too vague, yeah, unfortunately.
The piece that Godzilla's came from, that's actually from Kentucky, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's in northern Kentucky, right.
That I'm sorry, I'm kind of fixated on that.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, part of Fossil Fest on the 19th Sunday are some field trips. As part of Fossil Fest.
Okay.
The information about that will be handed out to visitors at Fossil Fest at the Museum Center. And there are two locations that my club members will be staffing. One is in northern Kentucky, not far from where Godzilla's was found.
Okay.
And the other is up here in Ohio.
How can we find out more about both this event and the Dry Dredgers?
Dry Dredgers, we have an extensive website. It's drydredgers.org.
Can't get any easier than that.
No, we try to make it easy. There are lots of fossil pictures and a lot of explanation. We try to be scientific.
It's a fantastic website. Accurate. I've been on it numerous times, and I love the way it's set up. It's very easy. You don't have to be you don't have to be so in depth with the fossils. Anybody, and I consider myself an absolute novice, to be able to use this website.
Yes, it's. We try to make it that way, and our webmaster Bill Heimbrock does a good job at that. If you go on that website to find out, of course, about us, there's also a link right there to go to information that we have about Fossil Fest. You can also go to cincymuseum.org, and they, of course, have information about Fossil Fest and the other events associated with it. One of those is a free lecture, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night.
That's at the Museum Center?
At the Museum Center,
okay.
Free. Yeah.
And that we can find out on the Museum Center's website as
correct.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell us again the dates. We're just about out of time. Tell us again the dates for Fossil Fest here in Cincinnati.
Okay. Everything starts on the 15th with that talk. And then the Fossil Fest itself is on the 18th, and the field trips follow on the 19th. On the 18th, you're talking hours of 10 to 3 at the Museum Center.
And that's geared towards everybody.
Everybody. It's very much family-oriented. There are a lot of activities for kids, too much to go into right now. It's best to look at the website. There's a lot of things for families.
Well, hopefully you will be able to keep it all together and make it happen in this little time crunch that you're about to get into.
Yeah, we'll do it. We've done these kind of things before.
Thank you so much for taking time to come in today. Wish you the best of luck with Fossil Fest. That's happening at the Cincinnati Museum Center. That's on October 15th is the lecture. And then the 18th and 19th.
That's correct. Right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in this weekend. You've been listening to Outdoor Life. I'm your host, Carol Mundy. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks for joining us for Outdoor Life with Carol Mundy and the Kronos. Join us every Friday at 1 p.m. as we discuss fun outdoor events, ideas, and activities. You can also follow Carol's naturalist website, thekronos.com. That's thekronows.com. It's Outdoor Life with Carol Mundy on WMKV and WLHS, streaming around the world at wmkvfm.org.